on top of Tesa Mad Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us, "Ein choshesh in shema gira chulda mi bias le bias mi makom le makom." The imkain me chatzer le chatzer me ear le ear ain le davar sof. The Mishnah tells us that we need not be concerned that a weasel went ahead and started dragging chametz from one house to another or one spot within a house to another spot, because once you're concerned that weasels are going to start dragging chametz and that maybe your initial bedikas chametz is now going to be invalidated, the problem is that you're never going to be able to rely on any bedikas chametz that you did, because any time that you do bedikas chametz, you're going to have to factor in this theoretical possibility that a weasel was going around the town dragging chametz, and it's just going to lead to this impossible situation. So because there is an institution of bedikas chametz, it obviously means that we don't have to be concerned that there are weasels dragging chametz everywhere. So the Gemara points out, Taima delo chazina deshakal. Ha chazina deshakal chayshina nubay bedika. The implication of the Mishnah is that you need not be concerned that there are weasels, you know, dragging chametz back into houses that you've done bedika on. However, if I saw a weasel dragging chametz, if I actually see it happening, it sounds like I do require bedikas chametz again. The problem is, says the Gemara, v'yamai neima achalte milo tanan v'doros ha'akum temeim v'chama yishe b'mador v'yeh ha'mador tzarech bedikar bo'em yom v'af al pi she'en lo isha v'chol makom shechulda v'chazir yicholen lahaloch ein tzarech bedika. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Maseches Ahalos, that discusses the following scenario. Let's say you have a house in which a non-Jewish couple lives. The Mishnah says in Ahalos that you have to assume that that house is Tameh. Why do you have to assume the house is Tameh? Because the assumption is that in the event that the non-Jewish woman had a miscarriage, so there's a chance that she might have buried the miscarried baby under the ground, and that baby would make you Tameh. Now, the Mishnah qualifies that statement and says that's assuming that they've been living there for at least 40 days, because as we know, right, the Gemara Nida tells us that for the first 40 days, you know, from conception, the baby doesn't really take form yet. It's not really considered to be a fetus at all. So the assumption is it has to be at least 40 days. But that's really a side point. The main point of the Mishnah is actually twofold. First of all, the Mishnah tells us that even if you have a case where there's a non-Jewish man living by himself, there's no woman involved, the halacha still applies based on the principle called a low plug. We don't want to start making distinctions that's going to confuse people. But the main point of this Mishnah is that if you have weasels or pigs or other types of animals like that, so then the Mishnah in Allah says you need not search the house to find any miscarried babies that were buried underground. Why not? Presumably because the assumption is that even if there was a baby buried underground, the weasel or the pig or whatever it was probably dug it up and ate it. So the Gemara says, why then in our Mishnah are we assuming that you need to do bedika if there was a weasel dragging chametz? Yet in the Mishnah in Ahalos, if there are weasels involved, then the halacha is you don't have to go looking for those babies that were buried underground. So the Gemara says, no, there's a big difference between the two cases. Amar Rav Zeira, lo kashya, habivaser v'habil lechem bevaser lo mishayra belechem mishayra. The Gemara says no, that in the event, in other words, in the case of the baby, that's flesh. So when it comes to flesh, the weasel or the animal will eat the entire thing. It's not going to leave anything over. In the case of chametz, it's a bread, so apparently weasels will not eat the whole thing. Walter, do you mind just muting yourself? I think there's some background noise. Sorry. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Hai Mai. So Rava says, what kind of a distinction is this? Bishlama hasam emor hava emor lo hava. Yeah, sorry, Walter, do you mind just muting yourself? Sorry, I hear some background noise. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Okay, so the Gemara says, again, in the case over there by the baby, so first of all, you don't even know if there is, in fact, a miscarried baby buried under the ground. You're just speculating. And even if it's true that there's a baby buried under the house, but it's possible that a weasel dug it up and ate the baby. Aval hacha divadai dechazina deshakal mi emer da'achalte havi safek uvadai ve'in safek. The problem is, says the Gemara, that in the case of chametz, we know that there's a weasel dragging the chametz. You saw the weasel dragging chametz in the house. So the Gemara says that the possibility that maybe the weasel ate the chametz and didn't leave any crumbs behind should not override the vadai, the certainty that you saw this weasel with chametz in its mouth, right? So the Gemara invokes this principle called ein safik motzei midei vadai. In other words, the possibility, the theoretical possibility that maybe the weasel ate the entire thing should not override the vadai that I just saw this weasel with chametz. in its mouth. So the Gemara now asks, "Vein suffik motzei midevadai? Is that really true that a theoretical possibility will not override something which is a certainty?" V'hatanya chaver shemesihiniach megura malei peros va'afilu hein b'nei yoman harehin becheskas misukanin v'ha'acha devadai tevile hanei perei v'suffik meusarin v'suffik lo meusarin v'kaasi suffik motzei midevadai. We actually referenced this case a little bit earlier last week back on Daf Dal. Let's say you have the following scenario: you have a person who's a chaver. A chaver means that he's careful, he's makbid to separate maisros from his produce. So a guy dies, and on the day that he dies, there was a new haul of fruit that came in. So the Gemara says you can assume that he separated maisro from his produce even before he died. So even if the guy left a whole storehouse, a whole warehouse of fruit, you can assume that the maisro was separated from that fruit. Now the Gemara says the starting point was that all this fruit is tevel, and therefore, in order to override the status of tevel, you have to separate trumas and maisro. So the Gemara says we don't know for a fact that he took off Meisr. We're assuming that he did, but we don't know that for a fact. And yet the possibility that he might have taken Meisr off is overriding our certainty, our previous status quo, that this produce was tevel. So the Gemara says, don't you see from here that Suffolk is Motzi Midei Vadai, that something which is only a possibility does override something which is a certainty. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Hasam Vadai Uvadaihu, the Vadai Ma'asre, Kid Rabbi Chanina Choza, the Amar Rabbi Chanina Choza, Chazaka, Chavar Shein Motzi Mitachas, Yadav Davar Shein Amasuka. So the first answer the Gemara gives to this question is that this is not really called the suffik. The notion that a person who's a chavir, who's makbid on separating meiser, in other words, the notion that he actually went ahead and separated meiser, it's not a possibility, it's a certainty. Someone who has the status of a chavir, we know with 100% certainty that he separated meiser, so this is no longer called a suffik and a vadai, this is a vadai and a vadai, and therefore that certainty, the fact that we know for a fact that he took off meiser, is going to override the previous status of the produce being tevel. That's one option.
That's a big assumption, though, isn't it? That he knew he was
going to
die.
Well, no. In other words, that's not the assumption. The assumption is that a person who has the status of a chaver separates meiser right away from his produce. That's the assumption. So even if he got...
From that day, though.
Correct. In other words, even though he died the same day, but the assumption is if he got the produce earlier that day, we assume it's not just like a possibility. The Gemara is saying it's a certainty that he definitely took meiser off of the produce. So that certainty overrides the previous status quo of the produce being tevel. That's one option. Then the Gemara says, "V'iba yisema suffik v'suffiku dilma meikara emor delotile kirab oshia the amar of oshia marim adam al tuasa umachnisa b'motshala kedeshet tehe behemto ochela subtura mena meiser." So then the Gemara says, in other words, this is an alternative approach where the Gemara says that one could argue that this is not a case of a vaday uvaday, but it's a suffik u'suffik because one is not always obligated to separate meiser from their produce. The Gemara cites a famous statement of Rav Oshia where Rav Oshia says, let's say a person wants to feed food to his animals. Now, normally, if you want to feed food to your animals, you still have to separate meiser from the produce. However, there is a way to get around that. The Gemara says that if a person wants to employ what's called ha'arama, you want to use some kind of trickery, so what you can do is you can bring the produce in with the chaff still on the grain. So if the chaff is still on the grain, that means that the produce has not yet reached a point where it's really chayav and meiser. So you can bring all your produce in to feed to your animals with the chaff still on the grain, and that would be a way to circumvent the chiyav of meiser. Now again, whether you should be doing this or not is a separate issue. The Gemara in other places discusses that. But the bottom line is that there are ways to theoretically circumvent the chiyav of meiser. So the Gemara says it's not necessarily 100% certain that there's always going to be an obligation to separate meiser, because you could have this kind of a case where you bring the produce in with the chaff to feed to your animals where you are not chayiv and meiser. So the Gemara says, again, this would also not qualify as a case of a suffik and a vadai. Okay. Then the Gemara asks, Vein suffik motzei midei vadai v'hasan yama Rabbi Yehuda meiser b'shifchaso shel meitzik echad v'rimon shehitila nefel labor uva kohen v'heitzit v'oleida im zachar huim nekevahi uba meiser lefnei chachamim v'tiharu mipnei shechul da uvar delos mitzuyin sham v'hahacha devadai heit Tila v'suffik geraru v'suffik lo geraru ha'hi shaita v'ka'ase suffik u'motzei midei vadai. The Gemara says, how can you suggest that there's a principle called suffik, that in other words, that we say ain't suffik motzei midei vadai, as we mentioned already a few times, that this theoretical option of something happening does not override the certainty? The Gemara says that, in fact, it's not true, because we have an incident. The Gemara quotes a story about a maidservant who she was a shifcha in the house of this very violent, aggressive person. And this woman, this shifcha, had a miscarriage, and she took her miscarried baby and threw it in the pit, or buried it in the ground. And then one time a kohen came by to ascertain whether the fetus that was buried was male or female. Because again, that has ramifications in terms of how long the woman is going to be Tamea and Tahora for, as we've spoken about in the past. So the Kohen wanted to figure out, is this fetus that was miscarried, you know, male or female? And then they asked the Chachamim, is the Kohen Tamei for walking by the pit? And they said no, because since there are weasels and polecats and other types of animals like that, so there's a chance that the baby was dragged away. So again, that's not certain. We don't know for a fact that a weasel or a polecat dragged the baby away, but that possibility overrides the fact that we know for a fact that there used to be a miscarried baby here. Again, if you know that there's that there's a miscarried baby here right now, and the Kohen walks by, the Kohen of course is going to become Tameh. But here, in other words, the starting point was that the baby used to be here, but there's a chance that maybe a weasel dragged it away. That possibility is overriding the previous status quo, which again seems to go against what you were saying before. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. The Gemara says, Lo tema shehitila nefelabor, ela ima shehipila kimin nefelabor. Vahavi suffik v'suffik. So the Gemara says, no, really what happened in this story was not that the woman threw her miscarried baby into the pit, but she threw something which looked like a miscarried baby. It was kimin nefel. What does that mean? So what that basically means is that she had some kind of a congealed blood that was amorphous, that didn't look like anything. It wasn't really a fetus. It was just, she had discharged some blood. So the Gemara says, in other words, we're not really sure in the first place whether that even qualifies as a baby. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara questions this. The Gemara says, V'haleida im zachar hu im nekeva hi katanim. But didn't we say in the story earlier that the Kohen was walking by to ascertain whether the fetus was a boy or a girl? If this was just a clump of blood that the woman discharged, then what's the Kohen looking at exactly? It's just a clump of blood. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi ka'amar. Leida im ruach hipila im nefel hipila. The im tim salomar nefel hipila. Leida im zachar hu v'im nekeva. So the first approach in the Gemara is that first the Kohen was going to figure out whether this was a baby that she had miscarried or just a clump of blood. And even in the event that it was a baby, now you have to figure out, was it male or female? Because again, that will determine how long the woman will be tahora and tamea for. That's one approach. Then the Gemara says, v'i ba'yasema, hasam vadayu vadayu. The Gemara then says another approach, that the notion, that the idea that the weasel or the polecat came in and dragged the baby away is not just a possibility, but rather it's a certainty. Why is it a certainty? So the Gemara says, even though it's true that the weasel or the polecat may leave some of the flesh of the baby over and not eat the entire baby, but we know for a fact that it's going to drag the baby into its cave, into its hole, into whatever it is, and therefore, even if there was a baby that was buried here, beforehand, it was certainly dragged away by the animal at that point, and therefore, the Kohen is not going to be tummy, even if there was a baby here before. Okay. Then the Gemara asks, "Umi amrinan ein choshesh and shema gira chuda? Are we really not concerned that there are weasels dragging chametz everywhere? Because again, remember, the Mishnah, the implication of the Mishnah was that only if I saw a weasel dragging chametz, that's when I have to start doing bedikas chametz, implying that if there was no, in other words, implying that if I didn't see anything, I don't have to assume that there are weasels around. So the Gemara says, is that really true? V'hakatani seifa, ma'ashe meshayer yenichenu b'tzina, shelo yehit tzarech b'dika acharof. The Gemara on tomorrow's daf, which we're actually going to get to today, was discussing a case of let's say a person does their bedikas chametz, but again the problem is that now they still have to eat chametz until the next morning, because as we know you are still permitted to eat chametz until the morning of Erev Pesach. So the question is where exactly should you keep all that chametz that you're planning to eat until tomorrow, until the following morning? So the Gemara says that you should store it away somewhere so that this way you don't require another bedika. Now why would you require another bedika if you weren't careful about where you stored your chametz? Presumably because the assumption is that there are weasels or animals or whatever that may come and find your chametz. So the Gemara says, doesn't that imply the fact that we're telling you that after you do bedika to take all the chametz you want to eat tonight and tomorrow and store it somewhere safe? In other words, doesn't that imply that we're concerned that there are animals roaming around finding all of your chametz, which seems to go against the implication of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar Abaye lo kasha, ha ba'arba asar, ha b'shlosha asar, b'shlosha asar d'shchiach rifta b'chulu batei lo matzna, ba'arba asar d'lo shchicha rifta b'chulu batei matzna. The Gemara says, no, it depends what day it is. The Gemara says, if it's the 13th 14th of Nisan, where there's still chametz everywhere, where bedikas chametz has not yet been done. So then the assumption is that if a weasel is going to, in other words, then we assume that the weasel is that he's going to get to your chametz because there's chametz everywhere. But on the 14th of Nisan, where there's really not so much chametz lying around the house at that point because you did bedikah already, then we're a concern that the weasel may come to hide your chametz if it's the 14th of Nisan. So the Gemara says, hang on one second. Amar Rava, v'chichulda neviyahi, diyada deha'idna arbeisar v'lo afeya v'orto mishayim v'tam. It sounds like a very strange thing. How does the weasel know what day it is? How does the weasel know when it's the 13th, when it's the 14th, right? So in other words, the Gemara almost makes it sound like the weasel has like an idea of what day of Nisan it is. So the Gemara says, it makes no sense. How is he supposed to know that it's the 14th and that you stop baking bread today? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Rava, masha mishari yinichenu b'tzina, shema tito chulda b'faninu, v'yehetzarech b'dika acharav. So Rava kind of amends this brisa, and he says that the reason why you have to store away your chametz that you're planning to eat the next day is not because we think that there are going to be weasels everywhere that are just, you know, dragging your chametz, but rather in the event that we actually see a weasel dragging chametz, you are going to have to do another bedika, which again is exactly what we saw in the Gemara earlier, because the Gemara told us that only if you actually saw a weasel dragging chametz do you require a new bedika, implying, of course, that if you did not explicitly see any sort of animal dragging the chametz, you would not require a separate bedika. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya Kivase, we have a brisa that supports the statement of Rava. Harotza lecho chametz achar bedika ketzad yaseh, masha mishari yanichenu betzina, shelo tavo chulda vesito bifaneinu v'yehetzarech bedika acharav. In fact, the Gemara says this, the brisa says this explicitly, that the reason why you have to store away your chametz that you want to eat the rest of the night and the next day for Erev Pesach is because we're afraid that if you don't do that, maybe a weasel would drag the chametz and you'll see it, and then you're going to have to do another bedika. Again, implying that if you didn't see anything happening, you do not require a new bedika. Then the Gemara says, Rav Mari Amar, Gzeira Shema Yaniach Eser V'yim Tzatesha. This is like the famous nightmare scenario, right? A person puts out 10 pieces of chametz for bedika, and they only find 9. So Rav Mari says that the reason why we insist that you hide away, in other words, again, the reason why we're going to tell you that you need to do another bedika is because, in other words, if you don't do another bedika, you may end up not finding all the pieces of chametz that you initially laid out. Okay, now, the next Gemara that we're about to do, which really goes from here all the way into the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, go ahead, Bill, yeah.
In the end of the day, though, I understand the concern that you have to do another bedika,
Yeah.
Not going deep till the next morning. So if it's not, why
it's true. Okay, that question you could really ask as a general question, which is why do we require bedika in the first place? Which is a question that we asked actually earlier in the Gemara, and also all the Rishonim debate, meaning because...
No, I'm only asking here where there is a question of what did the weasel eat it, did he not eat it?
No, you're right. In other words, if it's a case where at the end of the day you couldn't find anything, then at the end of the day you probably should just be doing bittul and relying on that. But again, that's kind of a separate discussion about, you know, for example, why, you know, the Rishonim debate, what's the purpose of bedika if you already have bittul anyway? Like, why do you need to do bedika anyway? So that's a whole debate that the Rishonim have earlier in the Masechta. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to give a whole number of cases. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the use of saying any chametz that is left over is hefker, you know, when we go ahead and afterwards, you know, if we're so worried that something's been dragged away?
You're saying if the chametz doesn't belong to you anyway, then who cares? Is that you're asking? So that was an issue that was addressed back on Davav on I think it was Friday's Daf, where the Gemara says that even though you're right, chametz does not belong to you, but part of the chiddush of the Torah when it says bal yira bal yimatzeh, don't see and own chametz, is that even though monetarily you don't really own it, the Torah makes you chayev as if you do. So at the end of the day, you are still going to be chayev for that chametz even though it's not technically yours. Yeah, it's a good question. The Gemara Davav discusses that more. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to give a whole slew of cases that seem to kind of just be all these kind of all over the place, cases that involve mice and weasels and things like that, but these cases relate to very, very, very important principles that appear all throughout Shas, as we'll see. So the Gemara starts like this. The Gemara says, Teisha tziburin shel matza ve'echad shel chametz, ve'asa achbar ve'shakal, ve'lo yadinan imatza shakal ichametz shakal, hainu teisha chanuyos, piresh ve'asa achbar ve'shakal, hainu seifa, disnan, teisha chanuyos kulan mochrim besar shchuta, Va'achas mocheres besar nevela. Ve'lokach me'achas mehen ve'inu yodea me'iza mehen lokach. Sfeiko aser. Uve'nimtza halich achar haro. The Gemara compares the case of, let's say, for example, I have 10 stacks of food. 9 stacks are matzah or kosher lepesach food, and 1 stack is chametz. And I have a mice that I have mice that come in and start dragging the piles. The problem is that you don't remember which pile is chametz and which is matzah. And now the mice come along and they drag these piles somewhere else. So the question now becomes, do I need to do a new bedikas chametz? So the Gemara presents two different cases here. The first case is where the mouse goes into the stack of 10 piles, drags one of them and brings them into a house. So that's case number one. Case number two is where somehow one of the 10 piles somehow got removed from the original 10. Then a mouse came and took that one pile that was already removed by itself and dragged it somewhere else. So the Gemara compares this to a very famous case that appears primarily in Maseches Chulin, which is the case of what's called Teisha Chanuyas. The famous case where, let's say for example, there are 10 stores on a block, 9 of them sell kosher meat and 1 sells treif meat. And then the question is, if I find a piece of meat outside one of those stores, do I have to assume that it's kosher or not? So if it's a normal case, let's say I find a piece of meat, there's no wrapping on it, there's no indication whatsoever that it's kosher or not. So if I have 9 kosher stores and 1 treif store, so we know the famous principle that we always have is based on the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, acharei rabim lahatos, you follow the rov. So if the rov is, if the majority of stores on the block are kosher, you can assume the meat is kosher. However, there is one exception to that rule, which is the case that we're discussing here, which is what's known as kavua. Kavua is a very, very strange case that doesn't really make any sense logically. It's based on psukim. Kavua means the following. Let's say I have the same exact 10 stores, right? And in this case, I walked into a store, I bought a piece of meat, the meat is not wrapped, it's not in any sort of packaging, I have no idea. And then the second I walk out of the store, I realize that I forgot which store I walked into. I have no recollection, I don't have a receipt, I don't have anything. I have no way to know which store I walked into. So the Gemara says, in that case, you have to assume that the meat is treif. Now, why that is? Statistically, it's the same 90 to 10 odds, but that's a chiddush in the Torah, that if you have what's called kavua, if you go to the place of the suffix and then bring the suffix out, we have to treat that like a 50-50 suffix, whereas if you find the piece of meat outside one of the 10 stores, you follow the majority. So the Gemara basically says the same exact principle applies here as well. Namely,
Rabbi,
yeah.
It makes total sense.
Why?
You should know what store you went into.
Okay, you can, right, you can, right, okay, you can make that argument, but again, if you're operating based on pure statistics, if you're just going based on majority, so then, you know, that should not really play a factor. The Gemara in a number of places discusses this principle of kavua, and it sounds like it's just based on psukim. It sounds like it's just a xeris hakasa without any sort of rhyme or reason. But again, the bottom line is the following. So if it's a case where the stack, let's say, of either matzah or chametz was separated initially, and then the mouse dragged it off, then you would follow the majority. The assumption being that pile was probably matzah. Because remember, we had 9 piles of matzah, 1 of chametz. But if it's a case where the mouse went into the 10 piles and dragged one of them out, then you have to fall back on the principle of kavua, which basically tells me that even though statistically it's the same 90 to 10 odds, you have to be machmir and assume that perhaps this was chametz, and therefore you are going to require another bedika. This is case number one. Then the Gemara has another case. Shnei tziburin, echad shal matzah ve'echad shal chametz, ve'lefneim shnei batim echad baduk ve'echad sheino baduk, ve'asru shnei achbarim echad shakal matzah ve'echad shakal chametz, ve'lo yadinan heila hayayel ve'heila The Gemara compares the following case. So the Gemara says, let's say I have 2 stacks. I have 1 chametz, 1 matzah. I don't remember which is which. And I have 2 houses, one where bedika was done, one where bedika was not done. And then I have 2 mice, and the 2 mice come and drag off these stacks into each of the houses. So the question now is, well, how do I know if the chametz went into the house where bedika was not done, and the matzah went into the house where bedika was done, or vice versa? So the Gemara says, presumably, we can derive the halacha of this case based on a mishnah that appears later on and appears in a few other places also, which is the case of what's called shtei kupos. Shtei kupos means I have 2 baskets, one which contains chulin, right, non-kodesh produce, and one which contains truma, and then the produce from each of those baskets then falls into a kli. You know, now each of these kelim, which hold a sa'ah, also contain chulin and truma respectively. But again, you don't know which is which. So now the problem is, can you assume that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma? So the Gemara quotes here from Rabbi Eliezer that you can assume that. The Gemara says you can assume the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. So the Gemara says, presumably, the same way that we're assuming in the case of the chulin and truma, that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma, we should also assume that the mouse dragged the chametz into the non-bedika house and the matzah into the house where bedika was already done. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. The Gemara Gemara says, Emer de Amrinan Shani Omer, Betruma de Rabbanan, Bechameids de Oraisa mi Amrinan. So the Gemara says, perhaps you can't compare these two cases. Why not? The Gemara says, because Truma, as we know, Bazman Azeh, is only mi de Rabbanan. But Bedikas Chameids, the Gemara says, Chameids is de Oraisa. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Atu Bedikas Chameids de Oraisa, de Rabbanan, the mi de Oraisa, Bevitl Baamasagili. We spoke about this earlier in the Gemara also. In other words, Bedikas Chameids, assuming that you've done Bittl already, as we mentioned earlier, Bedikas Chameids is only mi de Rabbanan if you've already done Bittl. So the Gemara says they're both only Durabanan. If they're both only Durabanan, so then obviously you can assume that the mouse dragged the chametz into the non-bedika house and the matzah into the bedika house, and therefore you would not require a new bedika on the house where the bedika was already done. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tzibur echad shal chametz ulefan of beis batim bedukin v'asa achbar v'shakal v'lo yadinan ilahai al hainu shnei shvilin disnan shnei shvilin echad tamei v'echad tahar v'holach be'echad mehen v'asa taharos uvacha veiro v'holach basheni v'asa taharos Rabbi Yehuda omerim nishalu zeh b'fnei atz Rabbi Yossi Omer bein kachu vein kach temein. So the Gemara presents again another kind of very esoteric type of a case that we're comparing chametz to these other types of cases here. So again I have one pile of chametz in this case, and I have two houses. Now again, in this case, I know the pile is chametz. I have two houses where bedika was done on both houses, and a mouse came and dragged this pile of chametz, but you don't know which house it dragged it into. So the Gemara says this is the famous case that's known as Shnei Shvilin. Shnei Shvilin means the following: I have two paths, and one path I know for a fact is Tameh. I know there's a dead body buried under one path. The other path is Tor, but again, I have no idea which is which. I have two individuals, each of them walk down a different path, and then they come to Beis Din to figure out, is the Kachim and Truma that I handled, 2 hours ago, is it Tameh? Now, just based on logic, you know that one of these people should be Tameh, because they each walk down one path where you know one of them is Tameh. So the Gemara says, well, it depends on the scenario. The Gemara says, So the Gemara quotes from Rabbi Yehuda that if each of the individuals asked individually, so let's say Reuven came in first and said, I went down path A, then Shimon comes in after and says, I went down path B, then the Gemara says, even though it almost sounds like a contradiction, but you have to treat them as if they're both Tahar, because again, you don't know which is Tameh, which is Tahar. However, if they come in at the same time, they ask simultaneously, then Rabbi Yehuda says you have to treat them as both being Tameh, because otherwise that's what we call a Tarti Desastre. It's considered, in other words, it looks too much like a contradiction if you're going to say that they're both tar. However, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bein Kachu Vein Kach Tameh. Rabbi Yossi says that they're Tameh in both cases. Even if they come in one after another, they're going to be Tameh. Amar Rav Avitim Rabbi Yochanan, Bevasachas Divrei HaKol Tameyin, Bezeachar Zeh Divrei HaKol Tahorin, Lo Nechluku Ela Bevali Yishoel Alavi Al Chaveiro, Rabbi Yossi Medami Leh Levasachas, Rabbi Yehuda Medami Leh Lezeachar Zeh. So according to this middle ground, according to Rava and Rabbi Yochanan, they say that the Machlokes is about a case of, let's say, Reuven comes in and asks about his own status and also about Shimon's status. In other words, in this case, Shimon never came into Beis Din at all. He never asked about his status. Reuven was asking regarding himself and Shimon. So in that case, that's the machlokas, whether we say, are we concerned about, things looking contradictory? Are we concerned about Tarte de Sasri or not? That's the issue at hand. Okay, then the Gemara says, Suffik al Suffik lo al, hainu bika, ubeplukta de Rabbi Eliezer v'rabana, disnan, hanichnos lebika bi mosak shamim, v'tuma besad de plonis, v'amar echad halal. So the Gemara says like this. I have a case. I saw the mouse dragging chametz, but I don't know if he actually went into the house or not. So that part, you kind of lost track on the mouse. So the question is, should we now assume that the house requires bedika? So the Gemara says it depends. So in other words, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah that says, let's say a person enters into a valley during the winter time. Now in the winter time, you don't have the right to enter into a valley. Why not? Because in the winter, that's when you're planting the seeds, and if you walk all over the valley, you're going to destroy the seeds that are planted. So in the winter time, a valley has the status of a Rishus Hayachin. Now, we know that one of the fields within this valley has a dead body. We know that one of the fields is Tameh, but you don't know which field it is. So the Gemara says, let's say Reuven comes and tells us, he says, I know I went into this valley, but I don't know if I went into the particular field in which there is Tumah. So that's a Machlokes in the Mishnah, in Maseches Bava Batra, whether we assume that Reuven is Tameh. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, he's Tahor. According to the Chachamim, he's Tameh. What's the issue here? So according to Rebbe Eliezer, he says that if a person is unsure if they entered the valley at all, I'm sorry, if they're unsure if they entered the field at all, so then we assume that they're Tahor. The only time we assume that they're Tameh is if they know they entered the field, we just don't know if they came into contact with a dead body that was in the field. Okay, then the Gemara says, Alu Badak Velo Ashkach, Plukta de Remer Verabanan, the Snan, Hayer Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Dover Shebecheskas Tuma Liolam Hubetuma So Achi Vadlacha Tuma Hichani, Vachachamim Omer, Bodikat Shemagia Lasela Ola Karka Besula. Then the Gemara says, let's say I saw the mouse drag the chametz into the house, I went into the house, I did another bedika, but I couldn't find any chametz. So now the question is, like, what am I supposed to do now? In other words, do I have to keep on doing bedika until I find something or not? So the Gemara basically says this is a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. And what's the issue here exactly? So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Meir, he says if I have a field where I know for a fact that there was tuma here beforehand, so I have to assume that the tuma is still in the field until I can prove otherwise. In other words, until I can dig up that body and say, okay, now the tuma is gone, I have to assume that there's always tuma here. Whereas according to the Chacham, they say no, you have to do your due diligence. So if you dig in the ground and you hit virgin bedrock or you hit soil or whatever it is. In other words, you've dug down deep enough. So at that point, if you haven't found anything, you can assume that the body is no longer there. So again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to have to, according to Rabbi Meir, you're going to have to keep on doing bedika in that house until you find chametz. Whereas according to the Chachamim, once you've done your due diligence, you've done your bedika, so even though you haven't found anything, you can assume that the chametz is no longer there. Okay, then the Gemara has the opposite case. Olu badak va'ashkach. What if you went into the house, did another bedika, and you actually found chametz? So now the Gemara says, plukta de Rebbe v'rashbag. Disanya sada shenevad bakever hanichnas lesocha tame nimtza bakever hanichnas lesocha tahor shani over kever shavad who kever shenimtza different Rebbe Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer tibade kol asada kula. What if I went into the house and I actually found chametz? So now the question becomes: can I assume that this is the only chametz in the house, or do I now have to assume that maybe there was even more chametz brought in that I'm not finding? So the Gemara says this is also a machlokas between Rebbe and Rabban Shimon Gamliel. For the Gemara says that the case is the following: I have a field that I know for a fact there was a dead body, there was a grave in this field, and now over time people have lost track of the grave. No one knows where the dead body is. So the question is, am I tame if I walk into that field? So according to Rebbe, so the starting point is that of course I'm tame because the assumption is that there's a dead body here. However, once I track down that dead body, once I find the body and body is removed from the field, so then obviously I'm not going to be tame anymore if I walk into the field according to Rebbe. But according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, you are always going to be tame until you've searched the entire field, because maybe there's another dead body buried here. So again, you can't really know for a fact until you've searched the entire thing. Okay, then the Gemara says, Hiniach tesu matzah yud, plukta de Rebbe v'rabanan, desanya, hiniach mana u'matzah masayim, chulin u'maiser shenim u'ravin zeh bazeh divrei Rebbe, v'chachamim omrim hakol chulin, hiniach yud u'matzah tesha, hainu seifa, desanya, hiniach masayim u'matzah mana, mana munach u'matzah mutal divrei Rebbe, v'chachamim omrim hakol chulin. The Gemara presents two kind of opposite cases. Let's say I started with 9 pieces of chametz and now I find 10. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha in that case? So that's a machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. What's the machlokes? So the Gemara compares this to a case of chulin and meiser sheni. So for example, I had 1 mana. I have a which is a hundred zuz of of meiser sheni, and then I come back and I find that there are 2 mana there. I find that there are 200 zuz of meiser sheni. I'm sorry, of coins. So the question is, do I have to assume that these are both meiser sheni or they're chulin or they're a mixture? So according to Rebbe, so the starting point is that I had 1 mana of meiser sheni. If I now come back and I find 2, the assumption is that some other guy put another coin there. That other coin is probably chulin, which means that I now have a combination of meiser sheni and chulin, which is going to be a problem because you have to figure out which one you have to redeem, which one you have to bring to Yerushalayim and which one you don't. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you can assume that all the coins, both coins are chulin. Why can you assume both coins are chulin? Because the Chachamim are assuming that maybe the guy who put the extra coin took the initial Meiser Sheni coin away and left you with 2 new chulin coins. So according to the Chachamim, the comparable case when it comes to Bedikas Chametz is that you can say is that if you started with 9 and you found 10, so the question is that you know, in other words, was that tent just you know, deposited there by a mouse? Maybe there was more chametz there. So according to the Chacham, you're going to have to do even more due diligence and look for the rest of the chametz. Then the Gemara says, what about if it's the opposite case? What if you started with 10 and only found 9? So the Gemara says that's like the other case. That's for example, I start with 2 coins of Meiser Sheni and then I come back and I only find 1. So according to Rebbe, the assumption is that if you only find 1, so that 1 coin is still going to be Meiser Sheni. But according to the Chachamim, again, it's all going to be Chulin, again, for the same reason, because maybe the guy swapped out both coins, took both coins away, and left you with 1 coin, which was only Chulin. Okay, then the Gemara says, Hiniach bezov izov, matzah bezov izacheres, plukta de rabban shum ben gamliel v'rabbanan. Desanya, kardum sha'avad bevayas habayas tameh, sha'ani omer adam tameh nichnas l'sham unitalo, rabban shum ben gamliel omer habayas tar, sha'ani omer hish'ilu la'acher v'shachach, o sh'natlo mizov izov, hiniach bezov izov acheres v'shachach. The Gemara says, let's say I left chametz, there was chametz in one corner of the room, and now I find it in another corner of the room. So the question is, do I have to assume that's the same chametz, or should I think that's different chametz? So that's also a machlokas between Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbanan, where the Gemara quotes a case. Let's say I had a shovel in my house, and the shovel got lost. So now the Gemara says you have to assume that the house is tameh. Why do you have to assume the house is tameh? Because maybe a tameh person broke into my house and moved the shovel around. However, according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, he says the house is tahor. Why? Because maybe I lent the shovel to someone and I just forgot about it, or maybe I put the in other words, or maybe I myself moved the shovel, and again I just didn't realize. So the Gemara says Zavis man dechar shmei. The Gemara says where are we talking about moving chametz from one corner to another in this brisa? So the Gemara says Chasuri mechzera v'hachi katani. Kardom she'avad bevayas habayas tameh. She'ani omer adam tameh nichnas l'sham unitalo. O she'hinicho bezavizom umetzo bezavis acheras habayas tameh. She'ani omer Adam tamei nichnas l'shamun etalom yizavizo vehanicho bezavis acheres. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer habayis tar shani omer hishiul la'acher v'shachach oshen etalom yizavizo v'hiniach bezavizo v'shachach. So basically, the Gemara just adds in that this is a case where again you might have moved around the shovel or the chametz from one corner to another without realizing it. Okay, then the Gemara says Amar Rava achbar nichnas v'chikar befiv v'nichnas acharav umatza pirurin sarach bedika mipnei she'in darko shel achbar lefarer v'Amar Rava tinok nichnas v'chikar biyado v'nichnas acharav umatza pirurin ein sarach. The Gemara says, if you see a mouse with chametz in its mouth, you know, running around your house, and you find crumbs, then you have to do bedika, because mice don't typically leave crumbs when they eat. But if you see a baby walking around with chametz and you find crumbs, you can assume those crumbs are from the baby, because babies are very messy when they eat, and therefore those crumbs probably come from the baby. Then the Gemara says, "Boy, Rava, achbar nichnas v'chikar befiv, v'achbar yotze v'chikar befiv mahu. Mi amrinan haynu haydal v'haynu haydenafak o dilma acharinahu." So the Gemara says, what if I see a mouse running into the house with chametz, and then I see a mouse running out of the house with chametz? So the question is, can I assume it's the same mouse, or do I have to assume that it's a different mouse with chametz, and therefore I still have to do bedika? So the Gemara says, "Imtim tzolomar haynu haydal v'haynu haydenafag achbar lava nichnas v'chikar befiv achbar shachar yotze v'chikar befiv mahu hayvaday acharinahu o dilma armuye armimine." So the Gemara says, "Okay, fine. So let's assume for a second that it's the same mouse that ran out of the house. But what if I saw a white mouse running in and a black mouse running out? So in other words, do we say that, oh, this is obviously a different mouse, and therefore I need to do bedika? Or maybe no, maybe the black mouse wrestled the chametz out of the mouth of the white mouse. So maybe now we assume in this case that you do not need to do a bedika because it's the same chametz that came out of the house. So the Gemara says, "Intim tzolomar achbarim lo shakle mehadade achbar nichnas v'chikar befiv v'chulda yotza v'chikar befi amahu chulda vade me'achbar shkalte o dilma acharinahu de'im isa de me'achbar shkalte achbar befi ahavim ishtakach." So then the Gemara says, "Okay, let's assume for a second that mice can't wrestle the chametz out of each other's mouth because they're of the same strength. But what if it's a weasel? A weasel is much stronger than a mouse. So let's say, for example, you have let's say, for example, there was a mouse entered the house with chametz, and then a weasel left the house with chametz. So the Gemara says, do we say the weasel took it from the mouse, or maybe not? Maybe this is a different chametz, because if it took it from the mouse, the weasel would have also had the mouse dangling from its mouth. So the Gemara says, "V'imtim salomar im isa deme achbar shkalte achbar befiav v'mishtakach achbar nichnas v'chikar befiv v'chulda yotze v'chikar v'achbar befi." Then the Gemara says, what if a mouse entered the house with chametz, then a weasel left the house with a mouse in its mouth with chametz in the mouse's mouth, and then it left the house? So the Gemara says, do we have to assume that that's the same chametz or different chametz? So on the one hand, you could say that's probably the same mouse, or perhaps you can argue that maybe the mouse got scared of the weasel and it dropped the chametz and it's different chametz. So again, the Gemara leaves all these kind of very, very strange permutations as a suffix. The Gemara is not sure what the halacha would be in all these cases. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Boy, Rava, kikar b'shmei korat sarach sulam lahorida o ein sarach mi amrina kule haylo atshuchu rabanan kevan delo naches minavshe lo asi lemechla o dilma zimnin denafel va'asi lemechla." So the Gemara says, "What? In other words, let's say there's chametz on the rafters of my roof. Do I need to take a ladder and start climbing up there to get the chametz down?" So on the one hand, you could say maybe Chazal did not obligate you to go to such lengths to get the chametz down. On the other hand, there's a chance the chametz may fall down and you come to eat it. So the Gemara says, "Im tim tzalomar zimnin denafel va'asi lemechla kikar bevort sarach sulam la'alusa o ein sarach hachavade delo avida desalka minafsha o dilma zimnin denachas lemevat zorke va'asi lemechla." Then the Gemara says, "What about in the opposite case? What if there's chametz in a pit? Do I need to take a ladder and go down to the pit?" So on the one hand, obviously the chametz is not going to fall from the pit, but on the other hand, maybe I have to go down to the pit to do some work, and I may come to accidentally eat the chametz. And the Gemara says, "Im tim tzalomar zimnin denachas latzorke va'asi lemechla kikar bifin nachash tzarech chaber lahutzi o ein sarach begufe atchehu rabbanan b'mamoni lo atchehu rabbanan odama lo shna teiku." The Gemara has one final case. What if there's chametz in the mouth of a snake? Am I obligated to hire a snake charmer to get the chametz out of the snake's mouth? So the Gemara has a suffix about this. The Gemara says maybe Chazal only obligated you to do bedikas chametz with your body, but not to spend money on it. Or the Gemara says no, perhaps there is no distinction between these cases, and the Gemara again leaves all of these cases unresolved.